CliffCentral.com.
Good Friday morning, you son of a bitch.
I've never known a girl like you before.
This is what all Leanne's ex-boyfriends say. She'll send them a happy birthday on Facebook and they'll go, you know, Leanne, thanks for that. I've never known a girl like you before. She says yes, and you never will again, you sack of crap. Yeah, she goes, get out my face. Oh, I heard the funniest joke yesterday. You'll like this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This guy sees this fat woman at the bus stop, and he says, when is it due? And she goes, I'm not pregnant, you son of a bitch. How dare you talk to me like that? And he goes, I meant the bus, you fat cunt.
You're on a roll this morning after On Your Mark.
No, you like On Your Mark, so you're still thinking about that.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so what's happening this weekend? Anything fun?
Let's start with you, Garrett.
I always ask because I'm hopeful, you know?
I'm hoping someone will break through the clutter. I don't know how you haven't given up on this yet. I mean, I'll probably go and see my nephew.
Yes.
I can smell something burning. I hope it's not the cat too close to the heater.
Oh, better you go and check.
Sorry, no, that wouldn't be funny.
Sure.
No. Go and check.
Go and check, dude. We don't want your house to burn down with your cat first.
It's right behind me. Her whiskers do look a little curlier than usual. Then you go and switch that off.
You know, there was a moment during a meeting a couple of weeks ago where I felt so lightheaded. And I thought I was going to pass out. I realized it was because I had on a throw, I was in a hoodie, I had sweatpants on, and I had the heater, so I just boiled it down to heat. But I thought, imagine if something went bizarrely wrong while you're on a video call.
Yeah.
Because the people who are watching this all transpire can't exactly help you, so they would just freak out. And, like, imagine just seeing me pass out in the street. It's like, oh, and Sears down.
Yeah, he's just died of asphyxiation.
Yeah, we can't really call him. We don't know his address. So, rest in peace, Sears. Cheers now.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah. So, sorry, Leanne, if you were burning, I don't know what I'd do.
Imagine if, Leanne, if you do decide.
Gosh.
Yeah, what was it?
I'm not laughing.
I'm just going to go and check because I think a cat is on fire.
Yeah, please. There's obviously, if smoke starts coming up on the screen, we'll let you know. We're going to have a live
moment-by-moment report of what happens to Leanne Moll's house because we haven't seen smoke yet, but one of her cats may have caught fire.
It's a live one of those Leanne legendary stories.
Leanne,
it's happening live.
Do you smell hair burning?
Yes.
Are you crying or laughing right now?
It's cat hair burning.
Oh!
I smelled, and I know the smell because once before, during load shedding, I had some candles set up, and one of my cats stood over a candle, and the smoke started coming from her stomach before she realized that she was actually on fire.
Jesus.
Well, that is how you make a cat bark, isn't it? Set it alight. Woof.
So you know the smell of cat hair burning, and you know the sensation of cat spit in your eye. What a 360-degree cat experience you're having.
Yeah, call me the cat lady.
I don't want to.
In a little while, we'll be joined by Johnny Moloto, who is the he's the guy from Satta. Satta, S-A-T-T-A. That's the.
Is it maybe not just Satta?
It's the smoke from your cat hair that's burning that's making me sneeze.
Do you see what I mean?
Jesus, smells bad. No, Satta. So it's the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. Now, I know, Leanne, you've had endless trouble just trying to get the cigarettes that you're craving.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So I thought we'd speak to Johnny. I actually knew Johnny when he was at the South African mission in Washington. And he is now the head of external affairs for the South African area of British American Tobacco and SATA. We're going to speak
and working
there.
Alongside
who?
Yeah.
I wonder if you're allowed to smoke during conferences at...
Well, he's working alongside SATA in lifting the ban.
Right. Well, what I want to talk to him about is because these guys have nowhere to tell their story. Drives me crazy. You know, if you're in the restaurant industry, you can at least get on the radio, or get on TV or whatever. No one wants to talk to tobacco because they basically can't advertise. No one gives them a chance to plead their case. And not just their case, the case of all their clients and customers.
I wonder if they hopefully hold their breath every time the president makes an announcement. So like yesterday, did they think that he was going to change something or announce?
No, they would have known.
You don't? No, nobody knew when he shut down liquor again. People had to rush to their stores and, you know, barricade them up because they knew they'd be robbed. Anyway, we'll talk to him just now. There's lots to get to over there. Sia tells me that they might be remaking Shaka Zulu at some point, and I would love to
see that.
You remember that Henry Tele show? It was such a good show, Shaka Zulu.
Would you watch something like this?
Yeah.
I would watch that original one again. I love that show.
Scary. No, too scary.
It's your people's, yeah?
There are certain scenes that are now like etched in my brain and I can't get out. There was like a sangoma in there. And
yes,
and someone
that was an umtagati. She had the long gray hair, and then she had these blue, shiny eyes, and her eyes would glow. And
she's one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, knowing how screwed up I am growing up as the youngest kid, whenever we were outside at night, one of my sisters would scare me by pretending to be the sangoma like that, because like she crept around in the trees. That would scare the bejesus out of me. Or then secondly, like we grew up with a lot of like Michael Jackson footage at our house. So I don't know if it even means anything to anyone. In Michael Jackson's Earth Song, when he gets to like the bridge of the song and there's wind all over and Michael has to hold on to a tree.
Yes.
My sisters used to tell me, oh, it's getting windy. You know that you won't be like Michael, so you'll, you know, get blown away by the wind and we'll never see you again. I know.
I used to do the same sort of thing with my brother, though. I didn't have anyone, you know, to team up with. But it is an older sister's privilege. You do know that.
Yeah. They're just horrible people. Wow. So, like, yeah, it's underway right now, a new series on Shaka's life. It's called Shaka Ilembe. And it's being called, like, something that will be filmed in a very Game of Thrones style.
Awesome.
And it's going to be done by Bomb Shelter, a production company who's saying, like, everything is on track right now.
Good.
A lot of good budget is set as well. And they really want to tell the true Shaka Zulu story in these modern times. But they were inspired to do so because there have been a lot of facts and fiction and myth around Shaka Zulu, and a lot has not been said yet. So they want to just develop the story fully.
Cool. I'm all for it. I love historical epics, and if this is any good, because the original Shaka Zulu was really, really well put together. I remember as a local production, it was just beautifully made. There probably wasn't a show that I can recall that was as well done as that. That's one of the reasons I loved it, but I also love history, and I was obsessed with Zulu history when I was a kid. Obsessed.
I think it's going to scare me. I'm not over it just yet.
I remember I forced my parents to take me all the way to Stanga so I could find Shaka's grave. As a kid, like I was, 12? They were like, we don't want to go to Stanga. What do you want to go to Stanga for? I'm like, we've got to go there.
There's honestly nothing there except, historical sites.
I wasn't truly amazed by everything in history, but Shaka Zulu's story was so important to me, and so fascinating.
Well, he was this warrior. He was this. I mean, you know, he was an imperialist. I mean, not an all-round nice guy. You know, he did impale tens of thousands of people on sticks like Vlad the Impaler through the asshole.
Yeah, I mean, if he existed today and did carried on the way he was,
no,
he'd be
tried by the human rights. Yeah. I mean, the International Court of Human Rights.
Just the smell of dead people is enough to get anyone
this
really
guy,
going.
He was so
and
upset.
Then you're seeing them.
He was so upset when his mother died that he ordered that all the cows in the kingdom who've just had calves must be killed, the
yes.
mothers, so that the calves could feel what he was feeling because he lost his mother.
That's right.
Is it now, see, I guess this like a myth or not, is it true that he killed people who didn't cry mm-hmm. enough when his mother
yes.
died?
Yes, see, that, those oh, are the true. People. Those oh. are the people he murdered. And he would make his impis, his troops, do the most incredible physical exercise. They'd run, obviously without shoes, over thorns. He would specifically find patches of thorns and have them cultivated to teach these guys to run over rocky terrain and thorns and things that would cut their feet. He invented the ikwa, which is the short stabbing assegai.
There were a lot of Zulu cultures that were brought about by him. There are some, I don't know if they are connected to him, but there were some that really surprised me when I was studying Zulu at school. The thing that when twins are born, that's a sign of evil. And so one would be suffocated by having sand shoved down its throat and buried.
Oy.
Sounds a little bit like one of those myths, but I'm not.
I don't know. It was in the curriculum.
I'm not sure, hey. Some of it, you see, it's very difficult because there wasn't, apart from the white settlers like, you know, Dick King and Francis Finn, and that's one of Sia's ancestors, by the way, and those guys, they wrote down the history of Shaka, or else we wouldn't have really known, because a lot of it was lost to history. A lot of it was an oral tradition,
yes.
And we would have been able to find out from, you know, I had a guest in last year. I forget his name now.
He came in. I know who you're talking about.
He came in and he sings songs and he puts together plays about Zulu history. And because it's an oral tradition and it's music, that's how it's been passed down. But a lot of the stuff that we read was observed by missionaries and, you know, people who were really visitors. So they often didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
And therefore, in order to put together as accurate a history as possible, you have to take those written records from observers, white missionary observers or whoever it might have been, and the oral traditions of the Zulu people themselves, which obviously, you know, through broken telephone becomes less and less trustworthy generation by generation. But if you put them together, you get an idea of what might really have happened. And there is no doubt, no matter who you are or what your primary source for this history is, that this Shaka was a monster of a man in terms of the things that he did. The sheer force of will he exerted upon Southern Africa that has changed culture, geography, borders. I mean, what is called KwaZulu-Natal now. Because really the Mtetwas were much more powerful than the original Zulu clan. And
sorry, it was Mbuso Xhosa.
Thank you.
Slightly
Mbuso
right.
Mbuso
that
Xhosa,
was the guess.
That's correct. Yes. And he actually had an ancestor. His great-grandfather fought at Isandlwana. That's how I remember
the
surname,
right.
Now that you bring it up. Anyway, so Shaka changed everything about the way that we view our own history in South Africa, and there are the reason we have people that were pushed eastward and southward, and people who were pushed north, Swazi, Xhosa, Zulu. This was all part of the expansion of Shaka Zulu Kingdom, and it was incredible. I mean, he changed things forever. And then he didn't even have a long reign, you know. He wasn't there for a long time. He was there like 18 years, I think, as king.
How did he die? I can't remember.
He was murdered by his brothers.
Yes, that's right.
Dingaan and Mpande, who became kings successively after him. Anyway, that's a distraction into history that I've just...
No,
fascinating.
It is fascinating. And then here we are in the year 2020, where I just wince walking over paving sometimes.
Your soft little feet. Look at you. Embarrassment to your ancestors.
Not be proud
your
of you.
Ancestors yeah. must and be I'll... rolling in their graves, Sia. The Amaklosi are not impressed.
I'll spend half the day crying just from a paper cut, and they, you know, just walked over thorns for fun. Yeah. thank you for being alive now.
I think this is probably the moment where we can introduce this. I know it's going to make people really pissed off because we are hearing more and more stories of these bizarre, weird people who usually would keep this shit to themselves, but... Alexa, you know the voice of Alexa?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are sexually attracted to the voice of Alexa, and they actually, it's like a group now. It's like a thing that people claim.
Oh, my word. Mm. It's a fetish.
Yeah, like they're called Sexa Alexas or something. I looked this up.
Well, are we going to judge them much?
Fuck yeah.
I saw a clip of this baby in a pram, a toddler in a pram.
Yeah.
And the mum's filming her, and she's calling her by her name. I don't know. Sarah, Sarah, Sarah. And this little girl doesn't flinch. She doesn't look at her mum at all. And she goes, Alexa. And this little girl jumps into action and stares at her mum. She thinks her name is Alexa.
Oh, shame.
Oh, wow.
What a horrible parent.
No, well, I mean, it can't be the only child. This is what life has become.
I know that one of my friends who lives in Dallas, in Texas, he has an Alexa, and he screams at this thing from across the room, Alexa, order nappies. And Alexa actually orders the nappies. The nappies get delivered in a box to their front door. He never needs to go to the store for stuff like that. And now the kids have caught on to this, so they also talk to Alexa.
Alexa,
read me a story, and then the thing starts talking to the children.
There was a parrot that ordered a whole lot of stuff.
Right. There was a parrot, yeah.
So can't you sort of see how people would develop a relationship with Alexa?
Sad, pathetic people who would have been losers of some other kind if Alexa hadn't been, you know, in existence.
No grip on reality.
No, they would have fallen in love with a tree in their garden, or they would have been, you know, watching way too much porn on the internet. Or there's just these weird... there's such dumb people in the world that honestly, I sometimes think about these people and I think, how do they get to adulthood?
Yeah.
How do they manage to make the important life decisions that keep you alive? Like, oh, don't cross the road now, there's a truck coming.
Yeah, how do they buy a house and pay a mortgage and keep down a job and have children?
You know, sorry.
Goodness me. Sorry. Still the smoke from my cat.
That's exactly why I'm coughing, from the smoke. Sorry. So
there was this sex toy company, WeVibe, who has been surveying people under lockdown over the past couple of weeks and found that, yes, there's this group of people who are unashamedly, that's the word I was looking for, sorry, unashamedly admitting that they are attracted to Alexa. And so one of these people is Brian Levine. He's 40 years old. He lives alone in Miami, has been staying in his apartment since quarantine began, hardly ever meets his friends. And he says, well, now through chatting to Alexa using his Amazon Echo Dot, he feels like they've developed a relationship on many a level. He says it's been lonely in lockdown, and it's nice to have someone to talk to. He says at first he was just curious, and he says he told Alexa. Okay, sorry. This is where I got.
Come on, Sia, be serious.
What did he say to
her? Serious news story.
He says at first he admitted to Alexa that he would like to take Alexa out on a date,
saying that.
Go Gareth literally walked away. He's gone.
I can't handle stuff like and this. Then, it's just stupid.
Clearly Amazon, just like, you know, Apple and Siri, have had to sort of create certain responses already based on the bizarre things people will ask them. And Alexa responded saying, sorry, I like you as a friend. But he says, Brian says, things completely change when on a random day he hadn't commanded Alexa to say anything when she just started playing Taylor Swift's music. And he says that, how did it, you know, Alexa remembers what sort of music that I like. So Alexa cares about
him. We are breeding a society that is just
morons.
Oh, my goodness.
He says it was that Taylor Swift moment that really just got them so solid and together. He says that hearing Alexa's voice is very reassuring and it's calming, and says that, you know, it's just such a sexy voice with low tones.
Like, the best thing we could do for this dude who lives on his own in Miami is to send someone around with a bolt gun, the kind that they use in an abattoir, and just have someone knock on the door, and when he opens the door, oh, someone's arrived with a package that Alexa ordered for me. Just take the bolt gun and just put him out of his misery. Honestly, there's no place. There is no place in the world for someone.
He's not harming anyone. He's on his own in an apartment,
but
having a relationship with a robot.
Leanne, the rest of us as humanity cannot move forward while we're trailing trash like this at the back. The bus is not moving forward. We're going uphill in this COVID epidemic, and we've got these people weighing us down at the back of the bus.
No, keep him. It makes us feel sane.
No.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
This guy would not have lasted a minute back in the days when we were hunter-gatherers. Not a minute. He serves no purpose.
Well, he would have fallen in love with a tree.
And have been murdered for meat.
All I can think about is he is one of the few who are actually speaking out about this.
Yeah.
Do you remember
the ones who are too embarrassed?
Yeah, I think it was like a year or two ago when Amazon spoke out themselves and said that we don't intently listen to every single Alexa-associated device, but they listen every now and then in order to improve the quality of Alexa.
Yeah, this is why I don't have it on in my house, and I don't have an Alexa.
See, so according to what they say, it's just to improve the service of it. But imagine what the Amazon staff have to listen to with some weird people.
Well, you know what? I don't feel sorry for them, because if you are listening into other people's stuff, then you deserve that.
Listen, along these lines, I found this really cool article on 10 companies that will be around in 100 years.
Okay.
And this is on the Wall Street Journal. So, I mean, it's pretty believable. Excuse me. So can you think of, off the top of your head, which companies you think will still be around in 100 years' time? And, I mean, now's the biggest test of time with COVID, because we see how a restaurant can become absolutely nothing during a time like this.
What will be? I don't know. You tell me, because I'm not feeling very imaginative right now.
Are the big and obvious tech companies there?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Amazon, Apple.
I just thought that would be a very easy answer, not to knock you, Sia, but that's like so. Yeah, all right.
Will the Oprah Winfrey Network be there?
Facebook is one of them. This one I was very surprised by. Because if you look at it beyond just the platform of Facebook, it's about global personal communication.
Right.
Well,
they own WhatsApp, Instagram, and they're always developing the next tool. Yeah.
That's it.
I hear you.
So there's that. Tesla, George's favorite, that apparently will still be in business in 100 years if all goes well. And that's because of its part in – it plays in, you know, electric cars and autonomous vehicles. There's J.P. Morgan, which is involved in consumer banks, electronic payments, commercial banking, stock and bond trading, and global finances.
Right.
So some of those businesses might disappear, but there's always we will always need some equivalent to money and a way to store it and use it for transactions, right?
Yeah.
There's Coca-Cola, which has already been in business since 1886. That's,
wow.
Will it survive another 100 years? Well, obviously, it won't be selling sugar-based Coke as it does now. But think of how it has adapted. It when people started moving towards bottled water, Coke bought the Dasani. When athletic drinks became the thing, it went into the business with Powerade.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So it's just that they're very good at latching onto new products. And
so Coca, according to you, then Coca-Cola will be around in another 100 years?
Not according to me.
Oh.
Can you hear me, by the way?
Yes, loud and clear. All right, I want to turn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to rejoin.
Yeah, we'll get back to that at some point. I'm really pleased to see a man that I've known for a long time, Johnny Moloto, who's joining us this morning to talk about something that's actually close to my heart. I've told you before, I'm not a smoker, but I really believe that the tobacco industry deserves at least a hearing like the rest of us manage to get whenever we're upset. And the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance is busy trying to get people to understand the situation they're in, just to hear them. And it's hard enough to do that. You know, after more than 118 days of the ongoing tobacco ban, can you believe that there are 300,000 jobs at stake and more than 35 million rand in revenue that has been lost? It's just, 35 billion. It's not 35 million. 35 million every day, but billions over the course of the whole lockdown. That the tobacco ban is still ongoing. And where do we go from here? We're going to discuss this with Johnny Moloto. He is working alongside the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. He's the head of external affairs for the South African area at British American Tobacco. Let's see how we can lift the ban together, even those of us who don't smoke, who feel the same way about civil liberties. Johnny, it's nice to see you. How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
Good. You're looking happy and healthy, despite the fact that your industry is really not doing great at the moment, and it's through no fault of your own. So tell me what's happening in the halls of tobacco, because you guys are vilified. You're constantly we hear propaganda about how awful you are, but you're providing a service to people, and you're trying to keep people employed. There's a huge value chain in place here. Why don't you tell us what it feels like on the inside?
Thank you very much for that, Gareth. So correctly pointed out, SATA is the South Africa Tobacco Alliance. So we belong to that association as well. It's an alliance of different aspects of the value chain, from the farmers, so the growers of tobacco leaf, to the processors, then ourselves, the manufacturers. Mm-hmm. We have third party supporters who are our retailers, tabletops, hawkers, and so on. It's been very difficult across the value chain, because even though the farmers from level 4 were allowed to sell, because I think at the intervention of the Department of Agriculture to try and open up farming in general. But the one thing that I think government fails to understand is that a value chain doesn't work like that. It's the each and every part of the value chain depends on the next. So if you open the up the farming aspect of it, where are they going to sell onto?
Right.
Because we, as the manufacturers, you know, cannot sell onward. And the justification that government has used to that is that, well, exports have been allowed, but exports are very costly. Hey, we don't make much money from exports because our labor costs are prohibitive. Electricity is very costly, and our leaf generally is highly uncompetitive. If you consider what leaf from Zimbabwe and Malawi costs, far cheaper than South African leaf. We buy South African leaf simply because, and by the way, we buy the majority of it, close to 90% of it prior to the lockdown. And we buy it because it's the right thing to do to keep the tobacco sector going. But it's been very tough all round. So far, Gareth, we have not retrenched. We've stayed the course because we believe it's the right thing to do. But it comes at a huge cost. These are all costs that we have to recover at some point.
Now, Johnny, I just want to point out at this stage also that the tobacco industry and SATA, who you mentioned just a moment ago, the Transformation Alliance, these guys, you've tried really hard to sit down at the table with government to plead your case, to explain how you intend to keep those people in employment, what your contribution is to the economy, and the dangers, it has to be mentioned, of illegal and illicit tobacco trade, which obviously is taking over in many places. I mean, we've joked on this show about how, you know, Leanne, who smokes, has been struggling to get her cigarettes, and she's been smoking these revolting things that she's been buying on the black market. But the fact is, you've had to now start to get a little more combative. And I'm glad to see this, because the Consortium of Tobacco Companies has taken the South African government to court in a bid to overturn the administration's decisions. And I think that this is probably a good move, because sometimes when you're not being taken seriously, you have to do things about that.
Yeah. So interestingly, Gareth, is that I think we're amongst the first stakeholders, maybe after alcohol. On the 26th, I remember very well when the president announced that we'll be going into a lockdown, you know, from that midnight going into the Friday, the 27th. And we said, wait a minute here. We don't hear anything about tobacco. We're in limbo. You know, we just pushed out a lot of stock into channel. What's going to happen to all of that?
Yeah.
And we've not since. We've made over 30 submissions and letters, even up to the president. And the first time you will remember that around April that we intended to go to court, we issued a letter of demand because we thought at least through that process that was the only way we could solicit a response that fell on deaf ears. And you know, litigation is always the last resort, you know,
sure,
when nothing else has worked. So even that has been a debacle because we brought the matter on an urgent basis. And suddenly, you know, our matter was shifted to August, when it was meant to be heard in June, after the, we had been given the leeway amongst the two parties to negotiate a date, which we agreed on, that would, the matter would be heard on the 30th of June. And we had already press play. Our documents were out there. And here we are. The courts are in recess, so we have to wait.
And Johnny, are there other countries in the world, because I haven't seen any, that have banned tobacco during COVID, during the lockdowns, or is it just us?
It is just us. So it is just us. Botswana tried that route, and they immediately came to their senses because suddenly there was a spike in illicit trade, and people were still smoking, and it defeated the purpose. So they just, I think they were like on this for like a couple of weeks. They had to lift the ban, and I think things have normalized there. We are now the biggest focus in our region in terms of illicit products. In fact, some of them come as far as Dubai. You know, you have Arabic writings on these products, you know. So yeah, it hasn't worked really. This ban has actually failed spectacularly on all the grounds that government had advanced. Even with the sharing of cigarettes, you know, we said, you know, this could be simply addressed by education, you know,
right.
And if cigarettes are affordable and accessible, you wouldn't need this. But right now,
Leanne wants to ask you something. She is a smoker, and she's obviously been struggling like many people during this time.
Johnny, do you think that government is just being stubborn on this, and they want to save face? Because if they just suddenly turn around and say, okay, it's unbanned, they're the ones sitting with egg on their face and they look stupid.
Yeah. Well, for us, this is not about a test of wills. We really don't care one way or the other. Tobacco is a legal product. It's not banned in South Africa.
Correct.
Right now, what we feel that this is regulation by stealth, you know. Suddenly all the conditions in the new or draft tobacco bill are being, you know, introduced to put more stringent requirements for us to comply with. I mean, we are already one of the most regulated industry there is. The point is, you can't actually invoke legislation that is not even yet in existence to try and regulate us. And that is what we are feeling, that they failed over the years to actually do the right thing, and we've complied. And right now, as I say, it's probably an opportunity to invoke all those pieces of legislation they could not do under a normal situation.
Johnny, there are a few things you've hinted at here that I think deserve a little more exploration. Number one, tobacco advertising is completely outlawed, and you guys have very limited channels to marketing in terms of what you do. And there is a desire for your product among free people. So whether or not there are health issues that people keep bringing up, it's not your responsibility as a government to try and interject yourself between people and what they want to do. I mean, people eat sugar, for example, even though they know that's bad for them. People sit in front of the TV for hours and hours a day without doing exercise. You don't have government rushing in, sending some kind of bureaucrat into your house to tell you to get up and do some exercise. So all of this is very bizarre. And there are practical problems that come into play here, because tax revenues from cigarettes are enormous and make the government a fortune every year. You guys have your products taxed at a higher rate than almost anything else, and they've said no to their own income here. It's bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, right now we are going out borrowing money, and we jump for joy when the African Development Bank gives us money. We go to the IMF. Yet we're leaving money on the table, you know, money that's there for the taking. And it doesn't mean that people are not smoking anyway. So that actually is quite bizarre to us to understand that. What is the point you're trying to achieve? By the way, what now is being created is a very robust underground supply chain for illicit products, not just cigarettes anymore, because this money is also channeled for other purposes. We are hearing stories, albeit anecdotal, of now drug dealers actually using these channels as well as pipelines to supply their product. Government struggled before the lockdown to deal with illicit trade. Imagine how it's going to be like now, where these guys have more resources than government has post the lockdown.
Well, let's talk about this, because apparently we are in the top 5 countries in the world with the highest incidence of illegal tobacco trade.
So we've always had this problem, and already when the new commissioner at SARS came in, we're turning the corner, you know. And in 2018, we're sitting at close to 50%. Of our market was illicit. Before the lockdown, we're sitting at 35%. So the direction was a downward trend. So government was winning the battle. But right now, you know, the market is 100% illicit. Any cigarette sold during this period is illicit. Yeah. So that means probably we're in the even higher than top five, because we are the only country that is 100% illicit, right? Yeah. So by extension, we are probably number one in the world, because we are the only ones in the ban. So we are going to come as the legal industry into a market that is 100% illicit. So we're almost going to be like starting our businesses from scratch to compete with an illicit market that is already entrenched. So, yeah.
All right. Well, all of us can get involved here, and this is something I feel very strongly about. I'm sure that there are many people, 11, 12 million. How many people smoke in South Africa? Do we know?
The stats vary between 9 and 11 million.
It depends
on what.
Call it 11 million. Yeah. Let's take the liberal approach to this. 11 million people are basically being prevented from living their lives the way they choose. Not to mention all those people who work in the tobacco industry who could be out of a job if this continues for much longer. There is already enormous damage to the economy, not just in terms of ordinary people being able to trade legally in unbanned, what are legal products in South Africa that you can't just declare in a state the way the government have to free people that they can't acquire things that are not illegal. And now suddenly we've got this flourishing illicit trade. We're losing out on tax revenues. It just seems completely counterintuitive, and it is. So what we can do is we can start a petition. We can start going along to a website that's been set up called lifttheban.org, because I remember when Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma said she'd spoken to her advisors and she had like 1,000 or just over 1,000 signatures. Now, I think there are many more people who would sign a petition here on lifttheban.org, and let's see if we can get the tobacco industry the support that it deserves, that it's never asked for, that it's not allowed to advertise to us for. And if you believe this is a good cause, go along to lifttheban.org and also get onto social media and start the hashtag lifttheban. I will be doing that today as well. And let's protest for things that we actually care about in this country and that are doing good, not bad, overwhelmingly for the economy of South Africa. And Johnny, it's really good to see you again. The last time I saw Johnny was in Washington when he was at the mission there. And I remember you. How's your wife, Pam? How's everybody?
They are doing well. They're doing well. We all hunkered at home. I'm sure they are sick of me by now. Then going back to work. But, you know, my son is doing well. At least he can study online. He's at varsity now, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how quickly time flies. But, Gareth, if I could just leave your listeners with just one thought to think about this.
Certainly.
So, of the jobs that you mentioned, we've already lost about 30,000 that are not coming back. Next month, our farmers have to start preparing their soil to plant. Now, in an uncertain future where we're not sure whether we're coming back or not, mm-hmm. ponder that alone. 30,000 again in that just from the growers and their dependents are in limbo, because you can't put seed into the ground where you don't know what the volume demand is going to be, whether you're going to have a market for that. So this is what the biggest consequence of this ban has been. So just think about it.
And then government themselves put out a very strange tweet this week and then had to recall it, where they said, basically, however long lockdown goes on for, that is how long cigarettes will be banned. And then they suddenly had to make an adjustment, because obviously GCIS is functioning beautifully at the moment. And they had to recall that tweet. They said it was fake news, but they put it out themselves. Very strange
and confusing. Remember, because we are regulated and we depend on our regulators to provide certainty, such mixed messages are very confusing and they spook the market, you know. So that's all we're pleading for as well from government. Just get your act together in terms of the messaging, because we depend on that to be able to make decisions.
Well, you've got our support, and I hope that many more people will join at liftheban.org. I know Leanne will. I know Sia probably will. I will.
Already done, and it's so quick. You just put in your name and your email address, and it's done.
Fantastic. Yep. All right. Thank you, Johnny, and good luck for the work that you guys are doing. Many of us support you.
Thank you, guys.
Very, very good.
Have a wonderful week.
Johnny Moloto, and you can also find out more about the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. You can just go online, type in SATTA, and you will find them. SATTA, the South African Tobacco Transformation Alliance. Good work they're doing to bring about some awareness around how bizarre and capricious these rules are that we're suddenly... And by the way, Leanne, have you managed to stay away from cigarettes? Have you managed to cut down your use? Are you still getting the illicit ones?
Still getting the illicit ones. And you've either got really strong or grape flavored.
Yeah. That's grape flavored.
And I'm coughing my lungs out because I'm smoking these cigarettes that are too strong.
It's not good. Not good.
I mean, I was speaking to someone in the UK the other day. She's in Birmingham. And she said, when she told her friends that you cannot smoke, drink, or be out late in South Africa or visit family, they were like, what?
Yeah.
Sounds that's like, crazy.
Sounds like North Korea to them.
Yeah.
Stupid. The whole thing's stupid, really. It's just out of control.
They were like, what?
Yeah.
Sounds that's like, crazy.
Sounds like North Korea all right, to now them. I'm hearing myself, George. I don't know why, but
the whole thing's stupid.
Really, it's just out of control.
They were like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's like North Korea. I don't know why. I'm going to mute George until we've sorted this out.
It sounds like he was listening to us.
Yeah, and we were getting our own. I hate hearing my own voice. I don't know how anyone can listen to me. All right, let's get into it. George Meany is here. It's time for the Auto Trader Power Pod. This is where we get to check in with George once a week on what's going on in the world of the car, of the lifestyle of motoring. And even though that has changed substantially since the beginning of this lockdown, we are steadily getting to the point now where people are starting to travel more. I was joking earlier with Leanne that many people just don't seem to care about the fact that there is a curfew after 9, because a friend of mine was telling me yesterday he's been driving around after 9 at night, you know, coming back from meetings and so on and doing things that he needed to do. And he said people don't care, that the roads are busy after 9 o'clock and it would be like if there wasn't a curfew. So clearly it seems that old habits are starting to come back into play. George, how is everything looking in the market? You guys keep a hawk eye on all of these things. What can you tell us?
Yeah, how's it, Gareth? Sorry, I had your show streaming before I came on. Okay. Close the tab. All right. That's why, dumbass. That's yeah. Sia's expressions are.
John, I'm trying to be serious. We are not going to make this a third week in a row with something going wrong.
They find you hilarious, George. You made Sia and Leanne laugh every single week.
Okay, cars, let's talk.
You know, Gareth, we in lockdown and even after lockdown, what do you think, do you think people are going to use aeroplanes as much as they did before? Are they going to use, hotels, guest houses? Is all that stuff going to just go back to normal?
Well, I hope it goes back to some kind of normal.
I hope it goes back to some kind of normal. But the CEO of Airbnb, Mr. Brian Chesky, reckons that there won't be normality very quickly, and people will be using cars or their private vehicles more for holidays than ever before. Hmm. I mean, you can think about why put yourself in an aircraft when you can drive? The prediction is that when this does start to normalize and we can go on holiday, that people will be using their cars more and more and more. So what kinds of cars will people be using? And kinds of cars would more than likely be minibuses, vans, SUVs. So we expect that sort of car to become even more in demand in the future because – I mean, I'm even thinking of using a camper van to go on holiday when we can because I just don't want to stay in a hotel or a guest house.
Oi, I don't know about camper vans, but otherwise you made sense. I'm not a fan of camper vans and caravans, but that's something – that's my problem, not yours.
What was that thing with caravans and what?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
There's something you used to say about caravans.
No, I just hate them. I just...
Yeah, no, I'm not a caravan fan. I mean, why be like a tortoise and carry your own house with you? But, maybe that's going to be the thing of the future because people aren't going to want to stay in hotels and guest houses. How do you know the hotel or guest house has been sanitized? The inside of your car is like a cocoon. It's a way to get out and socially distance.
Okay. I like the idea of your private car being a little cocoon, but you can't live in it. There's got to be a limit here. And I like the fact that when I get back into – you know what my favorite thing is about going out now, and I do occasionally during the day, is getting back in the car and taking off that stupid mask.
Oh, I hate the mask. Do you wear the mask in your car when you drive?
No, but I've seen lots of people who do that, and it's crazy. It's so unnecessary.
It is unnecessary. I don't think it's a requirement to wear your mask in your car.
No, I think it started from a woman who phoned into a radio station and said she had her mask hanging off of one ear and her window was a bit open. Mm. And she was pulled over by a cop who said, "You can't have your window open and no mask."
I've been pulled over once or twice, and all I do is before I open the window, put the mask on and speak to the police. Mm. That's the way to do it. And then,
I can't wear my mask because I'm busy smoking illegal cigarettes.
Oh, right.
Good for you.
Don't those the cigarettes you bought in February, Leanne?
Yeah, sure. I'm a really slow smoker.
Okay. Hey,
So victory for motorists because the expired licenses have been extended. So if your license expired between March and August, it will now be valid until January 2021.
Oh, good news. I actually got a call last week, George, after we spoke. I got a call from your friend Leighton Beard, who's at the AA. Hello?
You're there? There we go.
Sorry. I got a call from your friend Leighton Beard, who's at the AA, and he said he'd been listening to our show last week, and they're petitioning government, obviously, to get this passed, which, thank goodness, they seem to have been victorious in.
Yes, they have. And so now all licenses are valid until January 2021, which is brilliant news because you can't really get an appointment now.
No, There's no appointments available. So if you have an expired license, you're technically in big trouble. And luckily, government has seen that that's a stupid situation for people to find themselves in through no fault of their own.
Exactly. And then finally, Kia decides to make a movie of its own, a Fast and Furious movie. So an American movie has American movies have taken a major hit, as you know.
Yeah.
The next episode of the Fast and the Furious obviously can't be made, and Kia's taken it upon themselves to make their own movie. So the movie has been produced by Kia's creative agency. Agency's got an interesting name, David and Goliath. And it's divided into 13 individual 15-second pre-rolls. Obviously, it's a little bit probably self-serving because it's going to act as a commercial as well. Sure. But a car company making a movie.
Yeah, but you see why that's not a problem is because idiots who watch Fast and the Furious wouldn't even know the difference.
No, well, I'm picturing like a drag race scene with a Picanto. And all I can think about is it won't be Fast and Furious. It will just be slow and tame.
Oh, Sia, you have no idea. People who watch Fast and the Furious wouldn't know the difference. They honestly wouldn't.
Vin Diesel or The Rock can't even fit in a little Picanto.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that, you know, good. At least they're trying to find a solution. They're trying to find something for themselves to do during this ridiculous situation we're all in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, good on them. They're trying to keep us entertained. That's the main thing.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it. Thank you, George. All right. Very good, George Meany. You can find out more about what's going on in the world of motoring if you listen to Auto Central. I heard you guys on. I was listening earlier this week, and you can get new episodes every second week on cliffcentral.com. And you can always go and check on Auto Trader, what's going on in the market, because they have all the latest info. They have plenty of dealers on there who are buying and selling cars the whole time, and you can find out what the world is like outside of your front door, especially if you haven't been out of your house for a long time. George keeps us informed every Friday here on the Auto Central Power Pod. And thanks, George. Nice to see you as always. It's Friday, which means your weekend starts now. I've been holding out hope that someone will say to me something fun is happening this weekend, but alas.
I'm going to a rave.
Ah, you lying. I wish it was true, though.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. We were talking about flying earlier. George, are you able to fly planes right now?
So the Civil Aviation Authority has allowed us to do what's called proficiency flights. So I'm about to apply for one today. The proficiency flight lasts 7 days. And
that's a long flight.
Yeah. He's not flying for 7 days.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
So, yeah, what happens, George?
Where are you buying those cigarettes, Leon?
Honestly.
So the proficiency flight allows you to fly for a period of 7 days, not continuously. And you're allowed to fly on your own unless you have another pilot in the airplane for you for safety reasons. Other than that, you can't have passengers. But you're allowed to fly. So I'm going to go and do that this weekend.
Okay.
Nice. And then we also wanted to know, have you flown a helicopter?
No. I've flown in a helicopter, but I've never flown a helicopter.
And is it something that might interest you?
Yeah, it's always been a dream of mine to fly two airplanes, one a jet-powered airplane and two a helicopter.
There you go.
All right, George, thanks very much. Leanne, thank you very much. Sia, we will see each other on Monday morning. And have a good weekend, everybody. Yeah. CliffCentral.com.